Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I need to lose weight. Diet. Deprivation. Misery. Ugh.
What if you could lose weight without feeling awful? R3 Weight Loss by Susan Torberg is the real food plan you've been dreaming about. No calorie counting or journaling. A doable plan for real life. With R3 Weight Loss, you'll break those sugar and carb cravings but still be able to eat things you love, teaching you discipline and managing your weight for life. Visit r3weightlossplan.com. $39 will change your life.
I got to say, one of the great things about working here at Catholic Answers is we have these wonderful guests who come around every now and then. They all seem to know our president, Chris Check. I don't know what he's doing, what meetings he's going to. But we had a wonderful man in the building and behind the microphone with us for this hour, Professor John Cuddeback from Christendom College, a professor of philosophy at Christendom College. And we got to record a little earlier a Focus episode for our podcast, Focus Podcast. If you're not getting the Focus Podcast, just Google Catholic Answers Focus. You'll find it. And we talked a bit about friendship. This hour, we're going to talk about a new project that Professor Cuddeback is working on to help men take up their role as head of household. And if that language sounds archaic to you, maybe this is a great opportunity to consider what do we mean? I want to say what Christians mean, but really a more traditional understanding of human life, human family, human society than the current various modern understandings of those things, what it means by being head of household. You can find Dr. Cuddeback's work at his blog, Bacon from Acorns, and you can also find it at his new website where you can have access to all of his materials, including his new course for men, an online course for men on taking up the role as head of households. And the place to go for that is
life-craft.
Okay. I panicked. It was like life-craft.org. Dr. John Cuddeback, thank you for being with us again.
Great to be with you. Thanks, Sonny.
We have had the pleasure of having you on the show before, but you were at a distance. Now we've got you right here, so you can't squeeze out in case things get tough. You're welcome to call if you have questions about this, about a man's role as a head of household. Maybe you are a man, old or young, struggling with your role as a father or as a husband or wanting some insight into what exactly all this means. Maybe you are someone raising a boy or a young man and you'd like some help helping them find their purpose in the household. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. So why is this of interest to you? I mean, of all the things, you're a philosopher. Philosophers can pretty much talk about anything or write about anything. Or what got you onto this idea of wanting to help men take up their role as the head of a household?
Well, it's certainly something I've had to struggle with a lot myself. Okay. And more, I've just found it's so much at the center of things. It's so much at the center of God's plan for us in these days where many struggle with, is there a real difference, a significant difference between men and women? Is there a reason for that difference? What would that reason be? It's so central to the loving plan that God has for us that we understand that He had this generous, great plan in making men be different from women that very much is about, especially, the role that they have in the household. Not all men are called to be man of the household, but it is the most common vocation. It's the one wherein we can most directly and obviously see what God's plan was in designing the masculine human being.
Now, I suppose that one of the critiques of even using this language is that many people hear in it a kind of oppressive or domineering overtone or undertone.
They do. And honestly, I think it's important to recognize there's a reason for that, especially when men fail in fulfilling this role. Mm. It can make masculinity, it can make the man of the household seem an onerous thing. And that's something that's part of understanding we men have to step up. But the answer isn't to turn away from this incredibly challenging, noble thing to which we're called. We just have to try to do it better. And it's not about dominating. It's not about power. It's about love. It's about service. And it's about how God has, again, generously and wisely designed things that we can all flourish together if we're each willing in humility to discover the plan God has for us.
888-318-7884, our number here. Professor John Cuddeback, our guest. We will be doing open forum second hour with Jimmy. I probably should have mentioned that right up at the top because I know you're used to open forum first hour here on Thursdays. But with second hour, we'll open up the phone lines for open forum. This hour, we talk about this new project that Dr. Cuddeback is engaged in and about the general idea of a man's role in the household. 888-318-7884. Another possible kind of maybe spontaneous thought people might have is if you talk this way about men having a particular role in the household, men and women being different, all that, that that suggests that you are maybe an anti-feminist or that you think the feminists are all wrong.
Well,
is that true?
It's not true, but of course these terms are very tricky. I mean, what is meant by feminism is hard,
right?
And we're not going to be able to kind of sort that all out. But the way I'd put it is this: from my perspective, I think I can see some of the real concerns that women who call themselves feminists have, and I have those same concerns, and I truly believe that a right understanding, again, of man's plan for, pardon me, of God's plan for man's role in the household is the answer that we're all looking for. It's the answer that men are looking for, and it will at least in part address what a genuine feminism is concerned with, right? And I think sometimes the temptation is when finding how men act and the ways that men have failed, to just go the direction of, okay, in any talk of men having a different role, any talk of men having any kind of leading role, okay, now immediately that's all a problem and offensive. Well, I think that's an overreaction.
Okay.
And I think we're throwing out the baby with the bathwater.
Yeah.
And we need to get it straight. But we need to approach this carefully. We need to approach it all with humility. It's very easy to talk past one another.
Yeah.
And I think we all have to be super sensitive to that. I am deeply aware from trying to understand this and working on this for years that there are real concerns that I'm just going to say many called feminists have. And it is deep in my heart that properly be addressed.
Would it be fair to say that as a husband and two of my children are daughters, so a husband and a father of daughters, it seems to me that if you wanted to really do something positive for women, you would be very concerned about fatherhood and the role of fatherhood, because fathers, we can really hurt our daughters. We can offend them. We can offend against them. We can, by our neglect or just our inability to make the kind of present connection mm-hmm. that our girls need before she ever gets a chance to do anything about a career or an application to college and all that, we're there.
Yep.
And so it would strike me that a true feminism would really be concerned about fatherhood.
I completely agree, and I would add to that, the many women, of course, are going to choose to get married. And for those who choose the married vocation, we want them to have good men as husbands. They need good fathers and then particularly good husbands. And key to being the man of the household at the center of it is understanding what it means to be a good husband. And again, an amazing, beautiful plan, something that we're all working to try to understand better. But again, in humility, let's look at what the plan is, because we have to be willing to recognize something's been given to us. And when we receive that gift and live it, that's when all of us are going to be in the best situation.
Well, what about the man who might respond that really what you're talking about when you use the word like household, the woman is the homemaker. The mm-hmm. household is her responsibility. I mean, you almost think of the, I don't, I mean, I, the 1950s television version of the dad, where it's the mom who does all the home stuff, the dad who does all the out of the home stuff.
Right.
What do you say to that guy?
I say there's a better plan.
There's a better way.
There's a richer way where part of the problem is men have separated themselves from the household, and that itself is in part a cause for feminism. Because women, to some extent, you know, and I oversimplify, but part of the situation, I'm not the first to point this out, is to have a sense of, if what's going on here is so important, why are the men here turning and giving all their attention to something else? And I say, that's a great point.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. And so one of my main suggestions, key part of the message here, is men need to see themselves as household makers. I'm going to go ahead and use the term household maker and homemaker. I mean, really, these are, we could distinguish them, but fundamentally, a man and a woman, what's at the center, naturally speaking, of their marriage? They are working together in making this astounding rich thing called a household a reality. And part of the biggest problem is that men have removed themselves from that project. Men don't see that as key to who they are as men. They see the home stuff is more superfluous and more something for women. That's a problem. They need to step up and put their attention there.
Well, as much as you might say, well, I can't disagree with you, but don't you, or what do you make of the critique? And I have to say, I think I agree with this critique, that from the time they're boys now, males are taught that in a certain way they're superfluous to the home. They're even the thing that bothers the home or upsets the peace of the home, or is the dopey father on TV, or even worse, the Homer Simpson or right. you know, Family Guy type father who's just a moron and really doesn't get it. Everybody else in the home gets it. So even a good dad on TV often is the guy who doesn't get it,
right.
you know?
Yep.
And so they're really being told pretty straightforwardly, and they hear this message, you're not part of this.
That's right. And that's why we need to be saying something else, because that's a catastrophe.
Okay.
We need to be saying there is a key role. A role is absolutely essential to household being what it is. And frankly, it's at the heart of your becoming the man that nature and God call you to be. And we've lost that. We need to learn to reimagine what a real household is, and that's central to this. And I'm going to say we need to invite the men to take the lead in doing that. They need to be projecting this view. The household is something specific. It's something concrete. It's something precious. It's something I'm willing to commit my life to. And here's how we're going to go about doing it. And that's the man that we're called to be. That's the man who's going to succeed in his relationship with his wife and have a great relationship with his children. Not going to be easy, but we need to start to conceptualize that and picture what that looks like concretely and start doing it.
888-318-7884 is the number. Professor John Cuddebeck, philosophy professor at Christendom College, is our guest today. We're talking about being the man of the household. If you have questions in that regard or comments, or you just want to get in on the conversation, 888-318-7884. We got to take a quick break. Right back with your calls for Dr. Cuddebeck.
We're glad you're with us. Stick around for more Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Cy. The latest episode of our podcast, Catholic Answers Focus, is available right now. This week, we talk with Carlo about the problems with sola scriptura. Here's a sample.
So, too, the scripture is needed for us to be completed as Christians. But that doesn't mean we don't need other things to be complete as a Christian. I mean, I can think of a couple of things. I articulate this in the chapter in my book. We need to obey the judgment of the church, according to Matthew 18, 15 through 17. For if we do not, we are to be treated as a Gentile and a tax collector. We're an outcast.
Yeah.
So we need to be obedient to the judgments of the church. We also need to hold fast to the standard of sacred tradition that Paul articulates in 2 Thessalonians 3:6. He says, in the name of Jesus, I command you to withhold yourselves from the idle brother who's not living in accord with the tradition.
You can hear the rest and get past episodes at CatholicAnswersFocus.com or subscribe for free wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what Catholic radio is? It's training for the troops. It's a interaural of the ear boot camp.
The folks who listen, who grow in their faith, grow in charity, grow in all the virtues, they then go out and exert an influence far beyond just themselves. Catholic Radio has an exponential effect for bringing people deeper into the faith.
Dr. Ray Guarendi thinks Catholic Radio is important. So should you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. And a little change because we have an opportunity on this Thursday afternoon. Professor John Cuddeback from Christendom College is in the neighborhood and has agreed to hang out with us for an hour and talk about his new project at life-craft.org to help men take up their role as the man of the household. It seems in a certain sense, one would think in most of history it would be completely non-controversial to say, to a man, you need to be the man of the household, but it's not non-controversial anymore. No. We have to deal with that, but there's a way in which one way to say it, I'm sure it's hard to say it like a philosopher since I have a philosopher here, but because the more we behave in a way that fits with our nature, the happier we are. And Amen. And that, men and women have the same human nature.
Yes, they do. But part of the gift is that God made man and woman different so that each would have something special and unique to offer, so that they'd be drawn together, so that together they can do something better, bigger, more complete, more beautiful than they would have been on their own. Or were they the same? And so there's something so beautiful about recognizing what is it that being a man, as opposed to a human, that being a man kind of draws us to do. And one of the ways I like to do that, to express what being man of the household means, the number of ways of putting it, is the man needs to be willing to take first responsibility.
Okay, what does that mean?
Well, it means that he is going to have to say, I need first to conceive, to conceptualize, to understand what this whole project is. I think a good way to think about this is man naturally tends to be an initiator, a beginner. And it's fitting, good, and natural, for instance, that men propose to women. I think it's good to go back to look at the foundation of a household, that unique community called a household. The foundation, the beginning of it, is really when a man proposes to a woman. And it's good for us to think, what is he proposing? He is coming to a woman and saying, in so many words, I've got an idea. I have a notion. I've got a plan. I want to build something with you. And I'm inviting you to be my partner in this. And so from the beginning, he initiates it, and that carries through. It is always completely a joint plan, but he nonetheless, even in it being a joint plan, he kind of takes a first role, and I like to capture that by saying first responsibility, because it's first his to, as it were, again, understand what this is, and to say, here's what the end is, and let's think together about how we're going to do this. But he's always willing to say, I have to make sure that I'm setting this up so that my natural role and your natural role can be best fulfilled here. And if I don't do that, then we don't have the foundation to work from.
John Cuddeback, our guest, 888-318-7884, our number. We start with Ryan in Columbus, Ohio, listening on St. Gabriel Radio. Hello, Ryan. Your question, please.
So when you get married in the church and your wife is Catholic and I'm Catholic and we agree and we move on forward, and then we have children, and she decides to move in a different direction, very different direction, and I want to continue in our faith. And then the children start to follow mom's teachings or her suggestions about our faith. How do I calmly present my kids with staying in the faith and just simply wanting to be part of my family.
That's okay.
Versus her family.
Well, that is a tough question. There's so many ways that in God's loving plan, we suffer. And there's so many things in the families where I talked about how a man needs to have a plan. And of course, again, a joint plan, but there's so many things that can happen that's going to make that plan be difficult to fulfill. And so suffering is certainly going to be a part of this. And so your question deserves a better answer than I'll be able to give. But I guess I would just say one thing, we might not always be able to succeed in achieving what you dearly want to achieve here, but you can always, as Mother Teresa, say Mother Teresa said, you can always be faithful. I think already the answer was in part in the good way that you asked it. You said, how can I calmly remain yourself, remain loving, you're acting from love, you have something key to offer, and you keep offering it. One of the things that we have to recognize is there are just certain things that are beyond our control. We can keep teaching, we can keep sharing, and but particularly as children start to get a little older, we don't have dictatorial power over them. We don't have complete control of them. And so we can be exercising the authority that we have the best that we can. We can be presenting the faith and our worldview the best that we can. We can be doing our best to set the example and lead. But there comes a point where we've done all that we can do. And of course, we keep praying and we pray for one another and we support one another. So that was a tough, a hard question. But I encourage you to remain faithful. Just your being who you are and your being an example and continuing to love and continuing to try is going to make a huge difference.
Ryan?
Yes.
Does that help you?
You know, it does. It does. And the hard part is the children know that I have faith and they know that Jesus loves us. Mm-hmm. And then when they are away from me, they hear something else. And when they come back, it takes them a long time to settle down and accept that again. You know, they're 10 and 12.
Yeah, that's so. A very, very painful situation.
Can I just throw just one more thing, Orion? Again, God bless you. I would, not pretending to have the full view here, but I just, from my heart, it just seems to me, to the extent that you can continue to pattern for them how much you love your wife and their mother, and that it's, though, of course, there is an aspect of adversariness and indifference between the two positions, it would seem to me the more that you can still be acting in love and not in an adversarial way, as though it's two teams and they have to choose, but more just continuing to stand by the principles that you have confidence in and that you're inviting them to see, and you have the same attitude towards your wife. But in any case, my prayers go with you.
Ryan, thank you very, very much for the call. We are talking about being man of the household. You don't have to be a man to call. However, if you're a woman, have a question about this or want to make a comment, or if you maybe, if you're raising boys and you want to, or girls, I suppose, too, and you would like to get from a truly Christian philosopher a sense of what the family is and how it is meant to function and what we need to do to prepare ourselves to take up our role in the family, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. Our topic this hour, being man of the household, our guest, Dr. John Cuddeback. And up next, we go to Jeff in Bryan, Texas, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I was just wondering, me and my wife, we have a happy relationship and we have a son, and I'm definitely the leader of the household. You know, she looks to me and everything. But what is like the church say because sometimes we make the same amount monetarily and, we'd like to have more kids and ultimately we like her to stay at home with the kids, but it's just not possible monetarily. And sometimes I get a feeling of inferiority when it comes to, you know, being the man of the house. and just because that's not possible, even though I try to make it possible every day. But what are, you know, just some advice,
yep.
or what does the church say, or, you know, something like that.
Okay. Thanks, Jeff.
Well, again, great question. Deserves better than I'll be able to say. But I feel like the first thing, Jeff, is you are the man of the house. Don't second guess yourself just because you're not able to do everything that you want to do. Doesn't mean that you're not the man of the house. You know what you're trying to do. You're living in a very difficult time, and you're going to try your best. So sometimes economic necessities are going to make certain things be that you would rather not have be. So first of all, I'd say don't be too hard on yourself. This is a tricky thing. One of the tough questions is, how do we think about economic necessity? I can't speak directly into your situation, but just speak in universals. Sometimes I think the standards and expectations of our society at times make us think that we need to have more of a financial position in order to have this child or the next child than perhaps is so. I'm not at all suggesting that's what you're saying, but just be careful. Ask the Lord for guidance and direction to really see clearly what you're able to do there. Then again, just do your best, be faithful, and the Lord's going to bless your good intentions.
Thanks, Jeff. You can hear the music. We got to take a quick break. And lots of folks on the line to talk about being the man of the household. More after this.
Everybody's favorite Catholic outer space delivery pilots return for their greatest adventure yet in the brand new graphic novel Weapons of War. Fresh from saving the solar system in The Truth Is Out There and saving the timeline of salvation history in The Big Picture, Brendan and Irk land in a magnificent domed city on Mars for what is supposed to be a simple shuttle job. But soon they find themselves caught up in a sinister assault on faith and freedom. Will Mars be lost to the enemy? Brendan and Irk's only hope for the flight is in the power of God's sacramental gifts. A totally new kind of Catholic resource for apologetics and evangelization, The Truth Is Out There series combines the visual excitement and quirky humor of graphic novels with solid popular philosophy and theology. The result is a series in which everyone from teens to adults can find accessible answers to questions about God, the soul, true happiness, and much more. Order your copy of Weapons of War today by calling 844-239-4952, by visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
If you're a Catholic who sometimes gets intimidated by the Bible, Jimmy Akin's The Bible is a Catholic Book will help you better understand and take pride in this gift that God gave the world through the church. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Catholics are the original Bible Christians. Order your copy of The Bible is a Catholic Book today by calling 844-239-4952, by visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Gloria Purvis.
And I'm Deacon Harold. The Morning Glory team asks, what little things have made the biggest difference in your life?
Tomorrow morning, 7 Eastern. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. A little something different on this Thursday. So if you're expecting open forum, we'll do that second hour. Jimmy Akin's going to be in here second hour, and we're happy to take any question you have on the life, the faith, the people of the Catholic Church. This hour, we have the wonderful opportunity to talk with philosopher John Cutteback from Christendom College. We're talking about our topic for the hour is being man of the household. If you have questions in that regard, 888-31-TRUTH is our number. I mentioned at the beginning Dr. Cutteback's websites. You can go to Bacon from Acorns. If you just type in Bacon from Acorns, I can tell you there's not like 20 different sites with that name. You're going to come upon it. But you can also go to life-cutteback.com. craft.org to get all of this information. And there's a course that men can take on taking up this role as man of the household. And right now, because he's here with us, you can get $25 off on that code. Just go to life-craft.org, click on the course, and then put in a promo code CA25. CA is for Catholic Answers, so you can remember that. CA25, that gives you $25 off on the course. And Dr. Cutterback, you have kind of a plan there, a plan for taking up this role, really, of being man of the household. And are there specifics in there that will help?
Yeah, it can be downloaded there at the Man of the Household page there at the site. And I've put this together over time here working with men. And it's just, key to being man of the household is to be able to think clearly about what it is that we're going to do to form the family, the household that we want to have. And so I give general principles and also get pretty specific, right down to things like look for two or three things to do in the household together that would be some type of good work, you know, whether it's gardening, whether it's carpentry, painting together, something that is a good work that'd be a good context for being together as a family. I suggest making a hearth in the household, some type of place in the home that's going to be a good place that you can gather, and how to be very intentional about, hey, we need to have a place in the household where we can be present to one another. More and more, it's so hard to have the home be a place of life. And if a husband and a wife, especially together, can be intentional about that, man particularly being willing to step up and show that interest, it will be a key to transforming the whole community.
And you can just download
you
that.
You can download that plan for free at the website.
Life-craft.org, mm-hmm. life-craft.org. Mm-hmm. Lots more folks on the line. So we go back to the calls. Maggie in South Carolina, listening on Carolina Catholic Radio. You are next. Maggie, your question for Dr. Cutterback.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. I don't have so much a question as a very sympathetic response to your first caller. He was heartbreaking. I wanted to offer the perspective of the 12-year-old child who grew up in a very similar situation. My parents had an extremely bitter divorce, and my mother did everything in her power to alienate us from my father. She hid letters, she hid gifts. For years, this went on and on. But the point is my father was an exceptionally solid Roman Catholic. And if you could say anything about him, it was his faith. And some of my strongest childhood memories are going to Mass, first as a family, and then when things broke down, going with him alone when, you know, I had visitation with him. And his life was not easy. Mm-hmm. And he was just buried in September. And the point I want to make to your caller is that over his lifetime, he did everything right. He was solid. He was stern when he needed to be. He never gave up in trying to hunt us down. And even with all of the craziness that I went through in my second home of origin, he, in my mind, was always there and always present and always solid.
Wow, Maggie, what a testament. Yeah. What an extraordinary testament to a father.
That was beautiful.
And I feel Maggie is pointing to exactly the kind of manhood that you're trying to mm-hmm. point us to.
Indeed. And that it might not take place in perfect circumstances.
No, right.
But we can always be faithful in whatever circumstances, and it's going to, no matter what, it's going to take suffering, and God will bless us. There's nothing so beautiful as beautiful parenting. The good father, the good mother, it's just such a beautiful reflection of God's love for us.
Maggie, it sounded like you might wanted to finish up your comment. Did you have one more thing you wanted to say?
Yeah, there was one other thing. I wanted to share that the fruit of my father's suffering and endurance and loyalty and all of that is I am now a third order Discalced Carmelite.
Oh, praise God, Maggie. Yeah. So many fathers right now are praising God for that, because we do, there's a lot of dads worried about their kids and praying so hard for them and wanting that good, that good above all other goods, the presence of Jesus in their lives. It's wonderful to have your testimony. Thank Amen. You very, very Thank much, Maggie. However, I got to keep moving, Maggie, so I hope you'll be patient with me moving on, because there's lots of folks who want to talk with Dr. Cuddeback. Let's go to Martha in Grand Rapids, Michigan, listening on Holy Family Radio. Martha, thank you so much for your call, your question for Dr. Cuddeback.
Hi, Dr. Cuddeback. Thanks for taking my call.
Great to hear you.
I just kind of had a general question. I am married, and my husband and I are both very Catholic. We both come from divorced families, and I don't know that either one of us has a really good, solid, masculine role model in our life, but we would like to be. We have a 2-year-old son, but there's no good person in our life that is kind of an image of that outside of, obviously, the church and the saints. But I just kind of wondered if you had any recommendations on books or novels or movies that we could have available as our kids are growing up, our son and any future kids, to kind of show what good masculinity, what solid fatherhood should look like.
Oh, I'm sorry, right off the bat, Atticus Finch comes into my mind. But anybody, you,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, I feel like he's the greatest father in movie history.
That's great.
That's from
To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah.
That is a great question. I wish I were better prepared to answer. In fact, I am committed to gathering resources like that. And actually, I'm going to put those resources on my website. When I have gathered more, it isn't easy. Just over lunch, we were talking about a book called Little Britches. And I'll just mention that. It's just a beautiful Colorado ranching kind of autobiography, forgetting at the moment the name of the author, but a great, for young people, a beautiful American story. There's others like that that have just right at the moment are not coming to mind. May I just circle back? Because you said other than the church and the saints, and you're right to look for other, like, so for instance, Little Britches isn't particularly a religious story, but it's nice sometimes just to have simple images in of a ranching family doing things well, right? And so I agree, we do want to look beyond only going to the saints. But nonetheless, I just recommend meditate on St. Joseph and the Holy Family. And I'm not trying to go, as it were, hyper-pious on this. I'm doing it in part because I'm going to gather that I want to follow up with you, and I hope to be able to help you on that. But there's more that you can do than you think by just, we're coming off the Christmas season here, of thinking of meditating on St. Joseph, being told in the dream, now I've got to go to Egypt. We have enough of the story of St. Joseph's life that if you just sit down and imagine it and run the drill, there's so much that a father can learn, and we all can learn about what a man does, even though not so much is said and he doesn't say anything. There's more food for meditation that we can learn from than we might have thought. So I don't have more concrete things to suggest at the moment, but I hope to be able to follow up with you on that.
Martha, the book Little Britches, Nick will probably put it on the, we usually, any book that's cited, we put it on the show notes page. I looked it up, Ralph Moody.
Oh, thank you.
The author.
Yep.
And Britches, just want to make sure we're pronouncing it right. Thanks, Martha, all right?
And Martha, say, if I think of another, if it pops into my head later in the show, I'll say it even though you're gone.
Okay. That sounds great. I'll keep listening. Thank you.
God bless you, sister. Thank you very, very much for the call. We got to take a quick break. I'm supposed to tell you about this, though. I keep forgetting to stress this, and I want to keep sharing it. It's Sanctity of Life Month here. We've got that ebook. It's a free ebook for you, fearfully and wonderfully made, pro-life answers for everyone. If you go to our website, shop.catholic.com, you get the, well, because it's free, that means you get it for nothing. So just click on the banner at shop.catholic.com and get that free ebook, fearfully and wonderfully made, pro-life answers for everyone.
Your questions, Catholic Answers, live.
Catholic Answers Live is proudly supported by CatholicChemistry.com, a new dating site for Catholics who want to do dating right and believe relationships start with Catholic chemistry. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicChemistry.com for their generous support on the web at CatholicChemistry.com.
Do you want to end abortion, halt the attack on traditional marriage, and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
New on EWTN Radio, The Church Alive.
This is St. Monica, who I think is one of those great role models for so many mothers today.
My mother passed on to eternal life 8 years ago on the Feast of St. Monica. And you know, what a powerful example for me, because I know she prayed me back to the church.
The Church Alive with Brian Patrick, Dr. Matthew Bunsen, and Father Thomas Petri. Saturday at 7 a.m. and 1 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
I guess probably the most straightforward way to say it is, if you're being a father in the way that our society currently depicts fathers, you need another model. You need a different model. And that's part of, and all, that's true for being a husband as well. So being man of the household in the way that John Cuddeback is talking about and teaching about now at life-craft.org is meant to help us have that model. Got any other tips for us about what kids need from us that maybe they're not getting from Homer Simpson or from those dads?
How about this one? The first most important thing that our children need from the man of the household is the man of the household love his wife very well. I once heard it said, and I couldn't agree more, the most important first thing you can do for your children as their father is to love their mother. And I think at times men focus so much on, oh my gosh, I have to be a good dad, I have to be a good dad. The first step in being dad is to be a good husband. And our wives need us first, and we need to be constantly rededicate ourselves to them and discerning, what do they need? Here's a good question for everyone, is to ask ourselves to meditate on, what does my wife need me to do for her to help her life be better? There's one to meditate on. And then just another quick one. What do our children need? Our children need us to be spending more time with them, of course, than we are. But another thing that's easy to forget is they also need us to exercise authority well. Sometimes that's harder. It going out in the backyard and throwing the ball is absolutely key. But sometimes it takes more out of us to be willing to step up and to act with authority. That doesn't necessarily mean at all adversarial or be overpowering, but authority is always guiding. Authority is always about guiding to that person's happiness. It's about playing your role in directing towards that person's true flourishing, happiness, and holiness. They need our teaching, and they need our strength in guiding them to that. That is central to being man of the household.
Again, Professor John Cuddeback, our guest. You can find him at Bacon from Acorns. You can also find him at life-craft.org. We go now to Terry in Houston, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Terry, your question for Dr. Cuddeback.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm in a position I think a lot of people in the country are today. I was divorced. My ex-husband passed away 2 years ago. A lot of our problems were due to mental illness, and so he never took a traditional male role in the household, and certainly not after the divorce. I'm the primary breadwinner, the person who calls for appliance repairs and new siding, and you name it, I have to handle all of it. Mm. I have two sons and a daughter. One is 20 now, and 17-year-old sons, and my daughter's going to be 15. And my worry all along has been, without any kind of good, strong role model and seeing their mom do both roles, how do I prepare them to not expect their wife to be in the kind of position they've grown up seeing me be in? How do I prepare my daughter not to think that this is the role she has to take in a marriage, that she has to really be both sides?
Yeah. What a great question. Terry, the first thing I think to say is God will bless you for your faithfulness. Children, they'll see. You are obviously having to step up in a way that isn't the normal, natural situation, although
it happens regularly. I'd say have confidence your daughter or your daughters, they'll see that. They'll honor you for what you're doing, and they'll recognize that ultimately it's about God's fatherhood. God is a father to all of us. The parents, human parents, are always in some sense just standing in for God. So always think it's such a beautiful and challenging paradox. In God's natural plan, it's such an important role for the father and the mother in the children's life. But it's not as though it's absolutely irreplaceable. God's plan will always still allow some other way. He will see that his fatherhood can be conveyed, because that is the ultimate reality. And so in some sense, you're standing in for a father, and you're even part of kind of passing that on, even while you are just a mother. And you're being a mother, a great mother, in a very difficult circumstance. So you keep being faithful, and I dare say, leave the rest to God. And you'll see things, they'll see the other men, they'll learn from other examples. This is, I think, the way that it happens.
Terry, God bless you. I hope you do feel encouraged by what Dr. Cuddeback said about God blessing you. I do feel somewhat sensitive, though. I got to get to everybody, so I'm going to keep moving. I hope that was helpful to you, Terry. We're talking about being man of the household with Professor John Cuddeback, who has a brand new course on that on his website, life-craft.org. Let's try Jim in Indianapolis, listening on EWTN.com. Jim, thank you for your call, your question for Dr. Cuddeback.
Hello, and thanks for taking the call.
Hi, Jim.
Back to Ryan, your first caller. I was abandoned 20 years or so ago by a spouse, but the children did grow up. They're healthy. They're happy. So try not to despair too much about that. My question really is about, now that the children are grown, what is the role of the father who is separated from their mother? Is it any different from a father who is together with the mother?
Well, again, a great question. Surely it will be different, but then surely there's also a real sameness. You know, something that I love that St. Thomas says, he says, in God's wonderful plan, parenting is lifelong. It just has different stages. And so you'll be able to discover, and I'm sure you already are, if you're a grandparent, the unique things that only a grandparent can provide. Even if, as regards, though, your children, what the aging parent provides by still being involved, ongoing wisdom. And then if in God's providence, it'd be that you start to ail and your children have the opportunity to take care of you, that's a gift too. God's plan is so amazing of if we're just faithful, no matter how difficult the circumstances become, you will still be able to be a father. And yeah, it's going to look a little different than if your wife were still with you, but you're still a father, and you'll be a father to your children, you'll be a grandfather to your grandchildren, and there'll be amazing ways that'll keep being revealed to you until the day you die, because you're always a father.
Jim, thank you very, very much for the call. I do have a second here. I can get your reaction. Does that help you?
Yeah, that does make sense. I mean, it falls in line with the way I feel about, you know, being a father. So thank you.
Okay, thank
you're welcome,
you,
Jim.
And God bless you. Just this theme of, I think there are a lot of people who want to do it, who want to provide the home to a spouse, to children, whether it's a man or a woman. We're all kind of a mess in this moment in our society. There's a lot of abandonment. There's a lot of loneliness and brokenness, but it's really, to me, very inspiring to hear people still plugging away faithfully.
Right.
You know?
It's so key. We just keep being faithful, even when it seems that God's plan is not happening the way it's supposed to. God's plan is always, his loving providence is still working.
Anonymous scholar. All right. Anonymous, are you there with us?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. Your question, please.
It's kind of mostly a cultural question about how masculinity should operate, and I guess maybe culture is too big of a word, but I guess a scenario or an environment of immodesty, you know, whether we're talking, you know, I guess pornography at the large scale, or, you know, just walking into the shopping mall and seeing other things, you know, at the smaller scale, you know, how that kind of functions with masculinity from even a young age, you know, teenage or adolescent, seeing those type of things. Yeah. And then, you know, trying to, I guess, compose them as you're growing up and things like that.
Yeah, fair enough.
I have a quick thought for you. Fatherhood, being a husband and being a father, is about loving well. It's about serving. It's about completely giving yourself, just as God does, God our Father. And central to empowering us to do that is restraint, moderation, especially not only in the area of chastity. Unchastity directly undermines our ability to be a good husband and a good father. And so here's extra inspiration to cultivate restraint in ourselves. A man, central to a true man's strength, is his loving willingness to control his own desires, to be self-sacrificing, and that empowers him to be able to love well. And so the best we can, we try to model this, and we try to set up situations to encourage restraint, modesty, and chastity. And we can always start again. We can always start again. However we've fallen, we can begin now to cultivate that virtue so as to be able to empower fatherhood.
Anonymous, how's that?
It sounds wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Very good.
I think, you know, we live in this, what Anonymous was pointing to, a hyper-sexualized culture. Yeah. Designed to use stimulus basically to get us to buy stuff or go places. But really the basic mechanics of being a male have not changed that much. This is perennially part of the task of mature malehood, is integrating what is very, very difficult to integrate.
But the problem is today, we deny that. At least in the past, even if many people were failing, it was understood that this is key, that this is what men should be striving to do. Now we pretend as though you can be a real man and be pursuing your sexual desires.
Yes,
and
that's a good
it's
point.
You know, being a man, as I just tried to express it, presupposes chastity. Chastity isn't the heart of the matter, but it's a protector. It's a preserver. It underlies your being able to then act with wisdom, strength, to direct and love your wife, your children, anybody.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, there's probably a large segment of population who would say, well, that's backward thinking. We even have that weird kind of Freudian hydraulics. Like if you press down on that, it's going to come out somewhere else. Right. Which is a really an insane view of what it is to be a human being. Dr. John Cutaback is our guest. I want to give you the information again because this is very much worth having. I'm a subscriber to his Bacon from Acorns podcast. I get the emails when there are, excuse me, blog. I get the emails when the new ones are out. And it's about living as a fully and truly human person in a world that is dehumanizing. And that's how I kind of contextualize all of your work.
You.
The new project is at Lifecraft. It's called Lifecraft. It's at life-craft.org. And I would like to encourage you, men and women, but most particularly with this new project on being man of the household for men, to take a look at that. As I said earlier, you can get $25 off on Dr. Cutaback's course on being man of the household just by going to the website life-craft.org. kathleck-craft.org. And when you open up to pay for the course, you'll get $25 off if you put in the promo code CA25. I also want to invite folks, if you're going to be in San Diego tomorrow night, Friday, January 17th, 7 to 9 p.m. at Mother Rosalie Hill Hall in Warren Auditorium over at the University of San Diego. Dr. Cutaback is going to give a special talk detoxing your family from tech. Detoxing your family from tech. We're going to film it. We're going to make a wonderful filmed version of it and make it available to people. So, Dr. Cutaback, all I can say is thanks very much.
Great to be with you. Thank you, Si.
Very, very nice to be with you. And don't worry, coming up next, Jimmy Akin here, open forum next hour. So if you've been just saying, I've got to ask my Council of Florence question, or I've got to ask my Filioque question, or whatever else you've been sitting on for this hour, we're going to get into all of it next hour. 888-318-7884, the number. I see Jimmy now walking into the building. We'll see you right on the other side of this for more Open Forum on Catholic Answers Live.
BritBox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.